British teachers took to the streets by the tens of thousands demanding fair pay last Thursday in the country's first national strike in more than 20 years. The National Union of Teachers, with a membership of 200,000, was joined in solidarity by lecturers and other public sector workers as it mobilized its members in response to salary negotiations that they feel are unfair and amounted to a pay cut. In January of this year, the British government offered a 2.45% raise, which the union rejected on the grounds of not being adequate enough to keep up with inflation rates. Instead, Europe's largest teachers' union is demanding that wages be raised by 4.1%, or the government could face more strikes in the future. They say that the raises offered are not only inadequate, but also will discourage new teachers saddled with debt from entering the profession. Last week's one-day work stoppage kept more than an estimated 1 million children home from the nearly 8,000 schools affected. Joining us on the line, live from England, is Christine Blower. She is the Acting General Secretary of the National Union of Teachers. Welcome to Uprising, Christine.
Thank you very much. And of course, it's over here, it's just the afternoon, so I would be saying good afternoon to you.
That's right. It's about 4 p.m.
That's
now,
right.
Tell us what happened last week, Christine, and how significant it was.
Well, we have a system for paying teachers, which covers England and Wales, which is called an independent pay review body. But of course, our contention is that it isn't terribly independent because it has to take account of the government talking about affordability. And what we're saying is they've said that teachers from September can have an increase of 2.45%, and we're saying that the retail price index, which is the level, the way you measure inflation if you include housing costs, is at 4%. So if teachers only get 2.45, that's a pay cut. And as you said at the top of your piece, this was the first teacher strike in over 20 years. So it was quite significant that our members were actually prepared to do a day's stoppage. And it's because not only are they concerned about their own pay levels, but as you also said, we're also concerned about the fact that this will make teaching less attractive, and therefore we won't attract in the number of people we need in order to run our education service.
So what was the atmosphere like last week on the day that teachers walked out? There was one estimate from the police that put the figure numbers of people who attended the rally at 3,000, but your union says that it was closer to 100,000. That's a big difference.
It is a big difference. The fact is that there were rallies all over the country. So I spoke to the one that took place in London. This was a march and rally in London. And the figures for that varied from, you know, our best estimate was it was probably about 7,000. One of our local regional papers said that they thought it was about 10,000. And that will have been the biggest one. And there were rallies and marches all over the country, ranging from the biggest in London to some rural communities where, you know, from a lot of villages around the place, people came together and there were probably 50 teachers. Because we're alert to our carbon footprint, we were saying to people, don't come all the way down to London, stay in your regions and your areas and have meetings and rallies and talk to parents about why it's important that we improve the pay position for teachers.
So at this point, how has the government responded?
Well, at the moment, they are continuing to say that 2.45% is reasonable because they use a different measure of inflation. They don't include housing costs. But we're about to go back into the review body process, and we are saying to them that they really do need to have regard to the under-recruitment of teachers from September. And I think that pressure will build on them, not just from teachers, but also from parents, when they see the prospect of there not being enough teachers in the classroom to teach their children.
What sort of support as well as criticism have you received? And has the National Union of Teachers been joined by other teachers' unions?
We have a slightly unfortunate situation in this country. I know that in across America you have two unions, don't you, for teachers, the AFT and the NEA. In this country, a much smaller teaching workforce. We have a number of unions, and our head teachers, our principals, are organized, can be organized into separate unions too. So at the moment, we are the only union that took strike action about teachers' pay last week, but we were joined by our sister union, who they recruit in universities and colleges, post-school colleges, And we were also joined by a public sector union which organises our civil servants. So there is quite a wide sense across the public sector, but at the moment we have to persuade our other colleagues that strike action is necessary in terms of pay.
Hmm. Is the teacher strike sort of a symptom of the general economic conditions, and is it the issues that face teachers similar to those facing other workers in other similar vocations?
I think they're quite similar, yes. I mean, they're certainly similar across the public sector. Our Prime Minister started off by saying that we had to hold down public sector pay to 2% because otherwise this would fuel inflation. Now, the fact is that no economists in the UK believe that it's public sector pay that causes inflation. There are any number of things that do that. And at the moment, because of the global problems with food prices and energy prices, clearly the cost of living is going up significantly. So that was originally their policy. We did, through our campaigning, manage to get it up to 2.45%, but we're saying that isn't high enough either. It really does need to match the underlying level of inflation, including housing. So we think we've had some success.
So this pay raise that the government is offering, how does that compare to, say teachers who are saddled with debt, need to take out loans? They would be facing pretty severe interest rates at this point.
Well, of course, we used to have free higher and further education in this country. It's only recently that we've had any kind of payment of fees for students who are going into university. But now they do have to not only pay fees, but take out loans. And they take those loans from a company, which is essentially an arm's length government company. And those young people, some of whom have, you know, £16,000-£20,000 worth of debt, so we're talking twice that in dollars, aren't we, for up to $40,000 mm-hmm. worth of debt, they have to pay that back at a rate of 4.8%.
Hmm.
So they're having their salaries increased by 2.45, but they're paying back at 4.8. And for most of our younger members, you know, that means that they've got debt into the foreseeable future. And, you know, because of the global situation and the credit crunch, there is some reduction in house prices in the UK at the moment, but it's not enormous. And the fact is that most of our young members, the combination of debt and of house prices means that, you know, we have young people into their 30s still having to live at home because they can't afford to move out. And, you know, and those are people who are in full-time paid employment as teachers. It doesn't really seem reasonable, does it?
Hmm. No, well, Christine, let me ask you this at this point. If the government does not come through with the demands that your union is making, what next?
Well, of course, I'm the acting general secretary of the union, and I do carry a weight of responsibility, but I cannot alone decide our future strategy because that is for our elected national executive. They are due to meet twice in May, and they will be looking at all the possibilities of further actions and activities. There is, at the moment, on the cards, a lobby of our parliament, which will take place on June the 9th with members from other unions, and we will certainly be participating in that and making our voices heard to MPs. And there, and beyond that, there will also be a matter of whether we think it's appropriate to take any further stoppages, but it will be for the executive to decide that.
And if there are further stoppages, could they be more widespread? You know, could they be even more crippling than the last one?
Well, I think the point is that we'll have to make a decision about whether we would be looking at national action or whether we would be looking at action in localities. So there are different opportunities. There are different options open to the National Executive, and they will weigh in the balance how best to get our message across without wanting to alienate public opinion.
Hmm. Well, Christine, I want to thank you very much for joining us today. Best of luck to you in your struggle.
Thank you very much indeed.
Christine Blower is Acting General Secretary of the National Union of Teachers in Britain, and that is the largest teachers union in Europe.